Cowboys, the wrestlers, the tumblers, the clowns, the roustabouts who move the show at dawn.
The music, the spotlights, the people, the town.
Welcome to the Art Scene, presented each week by UALR Public Radio. Another change in the Little Rock Theatre world is the retirement of J. Raphael, UALR's head of theatre dance department. He took over the position 11 years ago, after the department had been without an official leader for some time, which gave him a number of choices to make. Of routes to follow, where to start posed the obvious. So today, he is my guest. And we went back a lot further as to what led him into theatre and the path to UALR. What is your background, though? Did you fall in love with theatre, or did you come into it through the back door? Or
I did it all kind of backwards, I think, the way I've done much of my life, which is somebody knocks on the door or somebody called and said, would you like to try this? And I thought, why, yes, I would. I had some interest as a kid in school theater and stuff, but as an undergraduate, I changed my major four times, a fifth time for my master's degree and a sixth time for my doctorate. And after I went out and taught and all of this stuff at 37, I gave it all up and went to New York to be an actor. I don't know exactly that there's a clear chronology as to being the bug doing the bite, but at about 37, I became entirely committed to working as an actor and a director, and I did that for a goodly number of years before I went back to teaching.
So when you made that decision in New York, what were the other majors that you dabbled in on the way?
As an undergraduate, I looked into a number of things, but the one closest to the field was actually speech pathology and audiology. And then I got interested in communication studies. But there were lots of things. And if you asked me tomorrow if somebody had told me I could have gone into zoology as a child, I think I would have gone there.
And made it a very interesting career of it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
That's got you back into teaching.
Yeah. You know, I felt at the time I left teaching that I hadn't done any damage, but I hadn't really had enough of a professional career to look at teaching in this field for a lifetime. So I left the university and, you know, with the proverbial stick and handkerchief over my shoulder, went to New York and thought, I need to do enough of this, I need to succeed at it, that if I wish to go back to teaching, and I always loved teaching, that I would have something to teach beyond my graduate school notes.
So when you did that and came back into teaching, how many years had you been in New York? And what had you done to achieve the quality of appreciation of what you could do in the theater?
I'd been in New York quite a while. Most of what I had done was regional theater all over this country. I had done some off-Broadway. I had done the things that all actors do to survive, you know, anything from extra work to day players on soaps and things like that. And then I was working at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. I had acted there a number of times, and I was approached by their artistic director who thought, based on how I worked as an actor, he wanted me to direct. And he gave me a major project to direct out of the box. And rather than saying, I don't know if I can do this, I, as all good actors do, I embraced everything. So I said, sure, I can do it. And then I started getting into directing.
And was that in the university, the CCM or anything
like
that? No,
it was in the regional professional theater. And I started working there and in California and Chicago and in various places and got interested in doing that. And that added on to the accumulated resume, but to the sense that I had a fuller background, that I would have something to offer.
So when you got to that stage, you looked at what was available. Was UALR already in the pot, as it were, of choices?
No, it wasn't. The first thing that happened in that direction was somebody approached me at the University of Utah, and they ran a really excellent Bachelor of Fine Arts program. And the gentleman who had run it quite successfully was leaving after 12 some odd years, I think, himself, to go to the Guthrie and do an outreach program for them. And they were now in the business of nationally recruiting to look for someone to run that program. And the gentleman on the faculty who was running the directing program had seen me act in America and did various places. And I had once done an exercise work for him in New York on a new script. And he approached me and said, would you like to apply? And I wound up looking at that and thought, I'll try this again. This is a reasonable time. I now have something to offer. And so that's where I headed for a couple of years.
So that was just 2 years you were there?
Yeah, I was there 2 years. I loved the school. I loved the students. I wasn't a huge fan of Salt Lake City. And I went back to New York and began freelancing again.
And then?
Well, you know, I looked at this in the long range. And I thought about what I liked doing. I thought about what I could do, that I could do more than one thing. And to be perfectly honest, as an adult, at some point, I started looking at what kind of security could I obtain for myself and how could I contribute to something over a long period of time as opposed to bit by bit. And at the same time, during those years, I had worked for the major pharmaceutical companies in America. I facilitated training programs for salespeople based on actor training techniques. So I had a taste of corporate America. I'd also had a taste of a salary I wasn't going to make again. I was looking at my own core values, and all of these things added up together. I thought this is a good time for me to work with young people again, and not necessarily to the exclusion of working in theater and having peer relationships with other professionals.
So that was a major decision.
Yeah, it was. And I made a commitment at that point. And I don't think I started out thinking I was going to be an administrator. And to be perfectly honest with you, I've masqueraded as an administrator. I more or less have always thought of myself as, you know, somebody at the bottom of the pyramid with the widest possible arms, making it possible for people I would consider art buddies to do their work, keep the good people in, keep the bad people out. That's how I've seen my job.
And so was UALR one of several places that you looked at?
Yes, it was. At the time, David Belcher, who was the provost here at the time, had been the dean at a school where I had been hired, where he had hired me as a chair. He approached me and told me about this place and about this opening. And I was interested in it because it seemed to have the support of central administration. It seemed to need help. It had a lot of potential, and it had a decent history, which had kind of faded away in places. I looked at it, and I looked at the opportunity to work with him again, and I had great faith in him as an administrator, a humanist, a concert pianist who understood what artists needed. And I thought, this is a very reasonable project. I can do this. It's viable. And I had two or three other things on the table at the time, but this seemed to be the largest challenge.
Was it the first or the only, or did you look at several before you came into this one?
At the point in which I was hired here, I was either had been interviewed, was being interviewed, or had made an offer for three other places.
So when you came here, what did you do? Stand back, look at what was happening in the different departments that would be under you, and hone in on one of them in particular as being something that would help lead the other things you wanted to do. Use it as a basis?
Well, you know, as I looked at it, there were two things on the table, a great deal of potential and already some people in place who practically viewed this as a calling, who had a great commitment. And there, a lot of other things, to be perfectly honest, were in shambles. And I thought that a lot of things needed to be addressed at the same time, particularly a revision of the curriculum, a way of looking at the production program which increased the values but still maintained a quality of life for the professionals who were producing. And I thought I would have the support of what was then a small group of people to make major changes quickly, and that if those changes had some efficacy, they would buy into a kind of a whole sweep. I also at the time looked at the history of the dance program, which at that point was in suspension, and thought it needs to come back. It has a place here. There's support for it. The university is welcoming the opportunity to do it. So at the same point, I went after accomplishing a new degree program in dance, as well as enhancing theater and getting theater to be nationally accredited.
So then you had to look for somebody to head that up.
Yeah, I did.
Did you know somebody by then?
Well, you know, who I knew was Rhythm McCarthy, who is my wife. Rhythm had done 16 years as a head of a major dance program. I had worked with her. I knew I had the opportunity to get great advice, to be mentored in terms of direction and what might work without having to be, you know, she was very careful not to say, this is in my name, this is my approach, but here are the kinds of variables you need to understand. And I sat with that for a year or so while she also assisted and consulted and taught a little bit here. And then I went after looking for a faculty.
She had been with you in some of your peregrinations in the meantime before you came here.
Yeah. And she, it sounds like just patting myself on the back or because she's my wife, but she's still one of the finest teachers I've ever met. And I thought I could watch her teach and learn something about the kind of hires I needed to make.
And was this done by you thinking all these aspects of what you needed to do for the first year, or did it take a bit longer than you had expected?
It didn't take terribly long. It took long enough for me to establish a base here, to get on my feet, and to find out whether the theater faculty would support this, because at that point in it, it meant they had to be very generous. They had to share their resources, which were not full. Everything had to be done with the full idea that we were not going to run two parallel programs, but we were going to run two highly integrated programs, and that there was a commitment to everybody's students being everybody's. And once I thought that they felt secure enough and obviously were welcoming, that's when I made the move.
And that was how many people you were counting on?
In terms of a faculty, I convinced the university I could do it with three people. I wasn't sure I could, but I needed to get rolling. And I thought if I could achieve something and if these three people could achieve something, we would have a program going. And I think it's developing. And I think an example of all of that is that the chair who is going to follow me is a dance person, not a theater person.
That has not been made public yet, or?
He's on board, but I don't know how much of this, but it's complementary to my whole faculty that there was never a question that it would be the best person, whether it was theater or dance, and that there was a commitment on both sides of the coin to maintaining this integration. When we were being accredited for NAST, the site visitors asked us about this, how we were achieving the integration. Clearly, everyone they spoke to believed in it, but they weren't sure it could be accomplished. And they knew there were a lot of places where dance wound up being the redheaded stepchild. And we had this huge commitment. And they said, we'd like to see in 4 or 5 years if you've pulled this off, if collectively you all have pulled this off. And I think if they came back today, they would see that it's never been a problem.
So of that core of people that you felt were really going to be essence to you to get this going, how many are still with you?
Two of them in the theater area. When I came here, there was only maybe one person who was actually on a tenure track ranked faculty in theater. The rest were guest artists or were junior faculty or came and went. We now have a fully on a tenure track theater faculty and dance faculty. We didn't have the staff we have now. It was a very come-and-go situation, and that was really one of my first objectives, was to create a secure family.
Now, I know that there was great rejoicing when the dance faculty department was able to offer a degree. How did that happen? Because it seemed that it basically brought in at least one new faculty to head that up, that in next to no time, the degree program was accepted.
Well, you know, I think both ambition and good luck ensued. We actually got this program through the university's curricular bodies, through ADHE, and through the state legislature with Chancellor Anderson's help in 1 year. And that's probably still the world's record. I think we were able to make people understand that as it would be the only degree granting BFA in the state at the time, that there was a niche for it. There was enough evidence that families, citizens in Arkansas, who would have sent their children to UALR, but for the fact that the children wished to major in dance and couldn't, and therefore were going outside of the state to do it. I had enough evidence that there'd be plenty of people knocking at the door. And it was. We had almost 30 majors within the first year.
My guest is Jay Raphael, head of UALR's theater dance, retiring June the 1st. So the names of these people that have been so valuable to you, are they staying on?
Stephanie Thibault, who was the first person, is still with us. The program has evolved, and as we've looked for different skill sets and different situations, it has kind of grown and changed. But fundamentally, it's grown is really what has happened. And more musical accompanists than we had at the beginning. And in terms even of our physical and technical facilities, it has enlarged and grown. And I think with the presence of a chair who is a dance person with wonderful connections and a considerable background himself as a teacher and a choreographer, it will be enhanced. And in return, you know, it has enhanced the theater department. We've had any number of dance majors who stayed and double majored, who wanted to have what I call carpentry skills, who wanted to know that they could eat if they developed abilities in both aesthetics and if they were people looking to develop companies, their sense of design, their sense of stage management, all of these things were going to be beneficial to them.
What about the student body? How, looking back to see the growth of that?
At the end of the first year of the program, we sat and watched the spring concert. And I turned to Rhythm and said, you know, we don't have any right to what we're seeing on stage. I mean, we found people who came to us who didn't have much technique, who didn't, some of them had never heard of a contemporary program, only knew about ballet and jazz, who had an amazing amount of raw talent. And I think what I find most interesting is not the numbers so much as the fact that we have graduated people who've had already real success and who have sustained an amazing ambition. It's very interesting to see how many kids at Christmas, in the summer, whenever there's a break, have saved every penny they've had and gone off and done intensives all over this country. These are really ambitious people. We've also had success with people who've gotten company jobs, who are working. I mean, it's been quick for how long a 5-6 year program.
Well, I think when you and I did the interview looking to this year, the first thing you did was rattle off the names and success of the people who where they were and what they were doing.
Yeah.
And it was directly because of the training they'd had.
Yeah. You know, the other side of this also that I think is really important, it has something to do with the quality of the students we found and the talent they brought. But in the 11 years I've been here, although the number is small relatively, nonetheless, in the area of theater, of people who wanted an entry-level job, a professional internship, or went to a quality graduate program, we've had 100% placement. 100%.
Yes, I remember you were saying that. And the ones that are coming in will have heard of this. And do you ask newcomers coming in at the very basic entry level, young but ambitious and want very much what you're offering, what sort of questions do you ask them?
Well, I ask them what their dream is. Mm-hmm. I ask them what their passion is. I ask them what they know at this young point about what would make them happy. And then I ask them that says to me, I want to be an actor or I want to be a director, I always ask the question, what makes you think you're going to make it to the exclusion of someone else? And the answers are always amazingly young and general. I'm a good person. I work well with others. I this, I that. I love the theater. And I say, not enough. Before you get out of here, the answer has to be, because I'm better at this. Because I can compete. Because I've learned, I have the intellectual capacity, and because I got something out of a four-year education that wasn't just limited to being an actor. That's what I'm looking for, you know? I want them to reach the point. And also I want them to reach the point where at the end of 4 years they say, I'm doing this because I have something to say. And when they come in, they don't know that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I try to make their passion mature over time without robbing them of the kind of general glee they brought as freshmen.
So at the beginning, presumably, most of the incoming students, with particularly once the degree was offered, would have been from Arkansas, fairly local. Are you attracting people from outside the state as well?
Yes, we've had people from Wichita, we've had people from Texas, we've had people from Missouri, we've had people from Louisiana. Some people transferred, some people found us online. We haven't had the funds to recruit extremely broadly, but online has permitted us, and it's a pretty interesting website, and it's full of activity. And also, we hosted the American College Dance Festival that brought, you know, some 38 schools and 400 students here. And there were some people who transferred because of that experience.
We were talking, and it looks almost from the conversation that we've been having, that the dance program is the one that is attracting the most attention and is doing the most obvious connections. Well, what about the theater department itself?
It had the buzz for a while because it was brand new. The thing that I found most challenging when I came here was that while theater had been here a long time and some wonderful things had been accomplished and quality productions had been done, people started kind of taking it for granted and then forgetting that it was here. And it took making us visible again to accomplish some of that. And the people I point out who have been so successful have been an indication to others across the state that there's something here they don't know about. You know, we don't have a brand new facility. We don't have a lot of what young people might look at as sexy and competitive. But once they discover who the students are and where they've gone, and once they discover that we're a boutique program, if you want to do something here and you're a student, we can mentor you to death till you succeed, because we have a control over a number of people that makes it possible for students to pursue any project they have the engine to drive. In the best of all worlds, I would like the enrollment to grow so that some of the projects we might do and can't do now would add to and enhance the nature of people's experiences.
Through the years, obviously, you get together with the faculty and discuss this, that, t'other, and which. Have you noticed, agreeably, that there's much more of a positive conversation that goes on between the lot of you when you're all together like that?
I came here because I believed that things were in flux, but there was a nucleus of people who were committed and who I could call art buddies, who I could collaborate with. And I think that's grown because we have a full and secure faculty. The thing that I really like about this department is, you know, collaboration is an easy word, a difficult process, but an easy word. And what I've loved about it here is that the people I work with have never taken collaboration for granted. Just because we succeeded in the last project doesn't mean we aren't going to have problems in the next one and that we respect each other. And I think personality has never been the issue. It's been doing the work. And the thing also that's really significant is, when you collaborate, I think you have a responsibility to protect and enhance your own artistic vision. But what you learn over time is that the way to accomplish that is by protecting and enhancing mine. And that's the nature of what makes this a happy place to work.
Looking back over these 11 years, the highs and the lows, the achievements that surprised you, how successful they were, and just the fun of being able to do some of the things that you've done. You did a very challenging program where you built a theatrical melange that you took to London as part of an overall, I wouldn't say international program, but very much involving other countries, other theater departments. And I remember seeing the show that you took and being very impressed with how it was all put together. you've done other things like that.
Well, we've done a number of devised projects. The Marlowe project that you were complimenting was devised and very much a part of a student creation. But we've done a number of productions, including last fall, we did this thing called On Walking, Walking On. And it was entirely devised with the faculty director, Larry Smith, and with a group of students. And that's been really interesting and successful work, where the idea of making, where the students aren't simply conduits, but are responsible for their own creations and for looking at what kind of theater they want to make, has been helpful. The England trip was great because I would say, with one exception, of the students we took with us, none of them had ever been out of the country, and the large majority of them had never been out of Arkansas. It's a very memorable experience for me. They performed well, they dealt well, but they were excited, and their world just, in 10 days, expanded so greatly. Another thing like that that's been very powerful is we've had, thanks to Chip and Cindy Murphy, for the last 5 or 6 years, every spring we have sent a dance student to Arezzo, Italy. As we all know about giving children this kind of experience, their world changes entirely. Their sense of their education, their sense of independence. And it's been remarkable what has happened to the students who have come back from that and how, in fact, they have mentored their own peers because of it.
And I was going to say, when you got back from England from the Marlowe Project, how did that relate to what they were challenged with here when they got back?
It was really wonderful. One day we took them all to the National Theatre in London. And they came out at the end of this amazing production of Jacobean Tragedy. And one student, as we stood around taking pictures of each other, said, well, how come we don't do that kind of work in our theater in school? And the others laughed at the sense of, you know, the scope of what he'd seen, but the envy that he had for that level of quality. And I think that was a thing that they brought back with them most, that their own work had to reach a higher level and that we could reach for that, but that they needed to understand what it took to accomplish that level of world-class theater.
So when they all came back and the faculty were sort of involved with hearing stories of what they'd done, what did it relate to when they started doing things back home?
I think it related to standards. It related to them wanting to increase the repertory, not necessarily that they were capable of, but that they were exposed to. The challenges we'd always made to them about getting out of one place and into another, about being broader, about what they saw, about the challenge to them to know and work with other people was suddenly, you know, very tangible.
Back to the beginning of our conversation, what plans are you turning you and Rhythm in your agile minds?
Yeah, you know, I want to act and direct again. I'm not afraid to freelance, even at my age. Once you've done it once and survived, you can do it forever. I want to get back to some of my own impulses. I want to get back to the joy of making theater. Do I ever want to be in a classroom again? Absolutely. Do I want to administer again? No. I still get really great pleasure out of going in a room with young people to turn them on to the things that have always been a part of what makes me happy. Actor coaching them, working with them. I still find that to be amazingly satisfying.
Have you already begun to look at other places?
Rhythm and I are moving to South Carolina. Part of the reason for doing that has to do with geography, has to do with climate, how one survives on a retirement, on a fixed income, etc., with Rhythm's family being nearby. And if I'm really lucky, before this life is over, I'll have a chance to work again with Robert Hupp, no matter where he is. And I have the freedom to travel and do that kind of thing.
Well, all the very best. I hope that all these bricks fall neatly into whatever paving you're going to walk on.
I thank you. And it has always been fun to sit here and talk with you.
Good.
Good. I'm glad. It was fun.
That was Jay Raphael, who has headed the UALR Theatre Dance Department the past 11 years. He retires as of the 1st of June. He and his wife, Rhythm, will be moving to South Carolina. And as with Arkansas Reps Bob Hupp, who moves to Syracuse, New York, looking forward to new challenges and commitments. Life is full of adventures. And that concludes this week's program. Please join us next weekend at the same time,
I'm Ann Nicholson. Thank you for listening.
The Art Scene is a presentation of UALR Public Radio.